Dairy products were, of course, available given the prevalence of goats and sheep and cattle, but it's unclear how they would have been preserved without spoiling unless they were made into cheese. And in fact, cheese, about 20 different terms for cheese are known. Probably the usual and most frequently used type of cheese was some sort of cream cheese that could be flavored with different spices or other additions. Onions, leeks, and garlic seasoned dishes, but other spices were costly and mostly available to the wealthy. A variety of oils, sesame, linseed, and olive oil, were available to add to dishes or to help use in their preparation. As I said, spices don't show up very often in the texts, but cumin, coriander, and perhaps even mustard were available. Some very scattered references to those spices being imported from the East have appeared in 6th century texts. As far as we know, honey was not cultivated, but it may well have been collected in the wild. Honey does appear in the texts, but there aren't any references to beekeepers or bee farms. Truffles were a delicacy that could please a ruler. At Mari, a workman delivered truffles to the palace, probably in hopes for some sort of reward, which he received with the gratitude of the king. Dates were a popular fruit, and date orchards were among the most highly desired agricultural resources. Other fruits available were apples, pears, figs, and pomegranates were quite common. This list of available foods gives you a sense of the resources, but now let's try and combine them into a meal and get a better understanding of how the Mesopotamians ate. Two meals a day, one in the morning and one in the evening, were customary. And you might remember that when we discussed temples, I said the gods, the cult statues, received two meals a day as well, just like humans. Bread and beer were the staples of most meals. Over 300 different Mesopotamian terms for bread have been identified. No recipes survive, unfortunately, but bakers probably added different ingredients to bread to create this variety of types. We know that some of the flavorings used were fruit, so cut up dates or pomegranates were even used in bread. Different types of oils, sesame and olive oil, are known to be added to bread to create a more savory bread. The terms also refer to the size, a large loaf or a small loaf, and even loaves of bread of specific shapes, or perhaps using different grains. All of these would be combined to create enough bread that would please anyone of the most discerning taste. So you can see that even though bread is one of the staples of Mesopotamian diet, you're not eating the same loaf every single day for your entire life. You have a wide range of choices. Several clay molds with different shapes and designs were found in the palace kitchens at Mari, and some scholars suggest that they were used to make some of these decorative breads that I've just been talking about. So the shapes of molds they're found include fish. There's a set of molds that shows concentric circles. It's possible, other scholars believe, that the molds were serving dishes or maybe even used to make some other sort of food, maybe a cheese or a jelly of some sort. To my mind, it doesn't really matter what the specific use of the mold was. It shows that food was being manipulated to please the eye as well as the palate. The other staple of Mesopotamian diet was beer. And beer made of barley would provide a very nutritious element to a Mesopotamian meal. Beer could be made at home or on a larger scale, but we know most about the individual brewers.